This is a HeadGum Original.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
There was an idea to bring together a group of remarkable people to see if we could become something more.
So when they needed us, we could fight the battles
that they never could.
Like to lose, to feel so desperately that you're right, yet to fail all the same. Dread it, run from it, destiny still arrives.
Evacuate the city. Engage all defenses and get this man a shield.
Fun isn't something one considers when balancing the universe. But this does put a smile on my face.
Another episode of Newcomers!
I simply can't believe it.
What?
Marvel!
Oh, Marvel, Marvel, Marvel. This is the 15th episode of our fifth season. I feel like I've been watching these movies for a fucking year. They're so long.
We have been. It's been a very long time. I'm Lauren Lapkus.
I'm Nicole Byer.
We're doing 20 episodes this season. It won't cover everything in the franchise, but if we did that, we'd be here all of our lives. We can't do that.
That's terrible. Mm-mm. Today we're discussing the third Avengers movie, Avengers Infinity War 2018. I got really confused in the beginning because I was like, I don't know what the fuck is going on. Am I watching the wrong one?
I got scared I was watching the wrong one because at one point they said Endgame and I went, oh, fuck, is this Endgame?
And it's pretty deep in the movie.
Yes.
And I was like, no.
I know. I literally was like, check and make sure. Got scared.
Well, Infinity War is available with a subscription to Disney Plus. You can watch it for a fee on Amazon, Apple TV, Google Play, Vudu. We're going to spoil the whole fucking thing.
Yeah, we are. We're going to tell you every little thing that happens. And we're so excited for our guest today. John Gabrus. No one, I don't say John, okay? And I don't feel right when I say John.
It's weird.
And I'm going to tell you about this man before he speaks. He's a comedian and actor that you've heard on Comedy Bang Bang, High and Mighty, his fabulous podcast here on HeadGum, and right here on last year's season of Newcomers Fast and the Furious. Fast and Furious. What? Fast and the Furious?
Fast and Furious. Fast and the
filling
Furious?
In for me. I wasn't here, so I don't know what it's called.
I was there, and I'm still not sure.
The Fast Franchise.
Or the
Thank
Fast
you.
Saga, whatever you guys want. Jesus
oh
Christ.
Oh, my God.
Did He's you also, not get
wait,
my notes?
Shut up. He also has a new scripted series premiering in July on HeadGum called Corked. And he also has a new show coming out later, but what is that called?
It's called 101 Places to Party Before You Die.
That looks like so much fun.
It was so much fun. I have no idea if it'll translate for the audience, but it was one of the best.
Sure, it will.
It was hands down the best job I've ever had. I don't give a fuck if people don't like it.
It's you and Adam Pally traveling around doing fun shit, like getting drunk in different cities and whatnot.
Correct.
Yeah, that sounds great.
It's right there in the title. It's not that deep. I mean, would you expect something, a deep exploration of society
really
from me and Pally?
Yeah.
I would love it if you got wasted and like interviewed people of the town and be like, how was the Alamo? I don't fucking know.
Yeah.
Okay,
no.
Yeah, that's something interesting.
Interviewing the people about how the Alamo was. That's a good idea.
Pee-wee Herman.
Well, thanks for being here today. We're very excited to talk about Infinity War with you. Obviously.
I too checked my email 3 times before I settled down to watch this movie because I'm like, if I accidentally watch the wrong 2.5-hour brick of Avengers, I'm going to swallow a fucking bullet.
I know.
And luckily, I watched the right one. You guys started saying Endgame. I was like, oh no.
Yeah.
It's a like the two movies together are like a 6-hour brick where, you know, little tiny plot moves happen every 25 minutes. So I'm excited to talk to you guys. Just watching this movie last night, I'm going, I can't believe these two are. And I'm
Isn't that hilarious?
I'm 8 minutes into the movie and I'm going, there's no way they're still paying attention.
I'm so confused.
I had to focus. And Mike was watching it with me and he was like, there was a point where he was like, keep watching this part. And he's like, you can't look away. You can't look down. You can't look around. You have to watch. I was like, shut up. You're really the worst. And he was like, I'm helping you do your job. And I was like, yes, you are right.
Yeah, I got up at one point to get cookies and there was a bunch of like, pew, pew. And I was like, I should rewind it.
I know.
But
it's hard
I didn't.
When you want to get up and then you got to go back or you don't. And then you'll find out what happened right now when we talk about it.
Yeah, this was tough. Gabrus, what is your experience with Marvel? Are you a fucking nerd?
I am a nerd, yes. And I really did kind of enjoy the Marvel movies. I'm tired of them now, like everyone, with like the ubiquity of the fucking Marvel movies and Marvel style movies and everything being Marvel. And it's worn on me. But this movie and Endgame were like my sort of last hurrah with the Marvel cinematic universe. So I did enjoy these. Did I have any desire to rewatch these movies? Now, short answer, no. Quick answer, love newcomers. So
yeah.
But it's just these movies feel like riding a roller coaster where you're like, did you have fun? You're like, yeah, I think so. And then it's like, you want to get online and wait 2.5 hours for a little thrill again? You're like, Not at all. Let's go get some fucking snacks.
It's actually the perfect analogy for that because it's 2.5 hours to watch the film.
And it feels like a theme park ride in that you don't give a fuck about anyone or anything, but you're like, whoa, that was cool.
I definitely had some moments that I thought were like kind of interesting in this one. But look, we've said it before, we don't love the Avengers getting together. I don't love when they all do something together.
There's too many of them.
There's too many. Scarlett Johansson was just running around. I mean, I'm just like, and wait.
This wig.
Well, this wig. But that one was maybe the best one.
So this one was properly ventilated and you could see a part, but they didn't cut her a hairline. They just cut it straight across. That's not a hairline.
I noticed that.
It made me so angry.
She has like the little boy's haircut when a mom just cuts it for the first time. It's like you just cut around the forehead. So you're like, ah, there you go. It's out of your eyes. You look like a page boy.
Nuts. And then all of Thanos' friends were the ugliest motherfuckers. I was like, who are these people and where did they come from?
Yeah, that's my overall complaint. I did not know about them.
Yeah, I did not know about them. And I knew who Thanos was. I read the Infinity Gauntlet comic book series that came out in the 90s that this storyline is based on, where Thanos gathers the stones. I own that. I bought it on eBay when I was like 20-something years old because I read it when I was a kid, and of course my mom threw it out. But I got to say, my major complaint with MCU is the bad guys, because they just keep becoming like bigger and more complicated in a way that's not appealing, where you're like, how is Spider-Man and Doctor Strange going to kill this like celestial alien who can do whatever they want? It, like, they play the game too. It's too weird how they play it in my book. Like Guardians of the Galaxy, it's like, it's this eternal space beast Ronan. It's this eternal space. And it's like, we just keep getting to like bigger and bigger space beasts until it's Thanos who's sort of like, I'm here to kill half of everybody. And everyone's like,
which is fuck, so confusing.
Why half?
Why half? Yeah. Like, what the fuck? Why
and
not
then
all?
I also was like, I don't like how CGI he is, because I felt like if
you don't
he
like
was
the ball
more...
bag face, like the purplish ball bag face that they let him
he's
rock.
He's like an eggplant head.
He's got like a legit scrotum for a chin. It's like wrinkled in the exact pattern mine. Except I only have one
yours?
Ball. I should have never given the Russo brothers a mold of my scrotum. I didn't know what they were going to do with
yours
it at
has
the time.
Very deep vertical lines that I'm concerned about.
You're telling me. I feel like I need to get out of the pool when I look at it. I'm like,
and it is purple, right?
Yeah, unfortunately, I don't know what happened. A lot of Peloton beat the shit out of it.
But that being said, I guess I would have appreciated if he was more real. Like because I think that's part of why it's like it feels like it's a lost cause, because he's just like this beast. But I did sort of like when he was collecting all the gems.
I liked it too. It felt like he was like a pretty princess.
Yeah,
and he
like
was
that
like,
game. Do you remember
let
that
me
game?
Get more of my gems.
I mean, it's the most basic, in the best way. It's like the most basic kids movie plot. Is like, if the bad guy gets all five rocks, he wins. And it's like, we must stop him from getting the fifth rock. Oh no, he got the fifth rock.
When he got that rock out of that guy's head, I was like, this is fucked up.
Yeah, that was really upsetting. And also, Griselda, what's her name? Fucking Griselda goes... Who's the green lady?
Gamora.
Gamora.
When she's like a kid.
Oh,
he like
famously named for a place that was nuked because of anal sex. Gamora.
What? Oh, yeah. Sodom and Gamora from the Bible.
Oh,
how funny. Wow. Maybe that's why he killed half her people, because they were sodomites. but when he was like,
was that
killing
what it's about?
People, I think
I don't
so.
Know that. Bible
I don't know
text.
The Bible either. I'm like half remembering something.
I feel like they got murdered because they were like,
yes, they were punished for
stuff.
Yeah, lying with men.
Having a
they were destroyed
time.
By God for their wickedness. Okay, but what kind?
The hottest
like,
kind.
Give me more details.
I don't know. This Bible should be a movie.
But when he murdered half of her like family or whatever, and then he was like, let's have a fun little pep talk. Don't look over there. Here's a knife. I was like, what is this scene?
I agree. And the half, why did he kill half? Do we know why?
His justification.
Because everyone's bellies were empty.
That's what's dicey about the whole movie is that his justification.
That at one point.
Yeah, he's literally the world.
He was like, everyone's eyes were full of dreams and their bellies were empty. So I decided to murder half of everybody.
Oh.
More or less, yeah. He thinks that halving the population will allow there to be more resources for the other. But then at that, like, the argument also makes no sense, because it's like, there's probably a calculation where you can get rid of a quarter and still have enough resources. Or, fuck it, get rid of 75% and have tons of resources for everyone. Like his own argument makes no sense. And then on top of it, it seems pretty arbitrary to like who gets to go. And I know it's random.
I know. Well, because at first I was going, oh, we're not going to lose any mains. It's going to be just these random side people who are going to disappear. And then I was going, oh, no, we've got some mains disappearing here. I'm getting a little nervous, you know. And then at the end, and that's in that scene at the end, like with Nick Fury, I was like, oh, really?
Yeah.
And I was like, but where are they going? They're not dying, right? Because they're not all dead.
I think they are dying. I think he's like murdering them. But then
they're
like,
but they won't be in future films?
They are ceasing to exist. Look, we're spoiling stuff.
Well, should we go through this? Let's talk about that at the end, I guess.
Yeah. We should first do our daily bow, 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 bugle.
Wow, a beautiful song to kick it off. And this is our news segment, and we're going to recap what's going on in the MCU. So Disney Plus put up New Jersey-themed billboards for Ms. Marvel in the Garden State where the show takes place. And they have these big Welcome to New Jersey billboards, but it says Disney Plus on top of it and Ms. Marvel on top of it. And then she's sitting on top of it.
That must be so confusing if you're driving through Jersey.
It is,
I've been
right?
welcomed 100 times.
I know. They kind of covered it up with like information, but it also just makes you think it really is welcoming you to New Jersey.
Mm-hmm. Easy way to prevent having to deal with that is stay the fuck out of New Jersey.
I mean, it is a trash state from which double. I am from.
It's a double win if you get the fuck out of
there. Here's another piece of news. Two upcoming Marvel Studio films have swapped release dates. Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania, previously dated for July 28th, 2023, will now come out 4 months earlier on February 17th. The Captain Marvel sequel, The Marvels, previously on that February date, will now go to July 28th next year. Interesting.
Now, how much do you give a shit about that?
I don't care.
I couldn't care less. I don't understand why they're switching, though.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's all arbitrary, and it's just like they put out... We'll talk about it another time, but they put out like the Spider-Man movie before the Doctor Strange movie that establishes the multiverse. Like, they've had to do some zhuzhing because of the pandemic and storylines, but it seems so tight, the portions you've watched so far. Like, it's hard to keep track of, but it does introduce the characters in a pretty steady way. And after going off of Ragnarok and Guardians of the Galaxy and then watching this movie, you kind of start to see how the pieces are connecting. But mm-hmm. I think after Endgame, it's sort of like, all right, now we're starting a new shit. And like the people, you know, half the population there dealing with that, you know, the consequences of half the population disappearing. I think it loses its wheels after Endgame. And I don't think it has a strong grasp leading up to Endgame. But I do think this is the fun run here that you're in.
And now the Marvels, is that like Captain Marvel's family?
Yeah, I hope it's about her family.
I believe it's Captain Marvel, but is Brie Larson like pass her power on to the sidekick? She's the new Captain Marvel,
Leah,
right?
What do you know?
Because we
yes. So there's a couple different characters in Marvel Comics that have had like the Captain Marvel mantle. So there, it'll be Brie Larson and then a character named Monica Rambeau, who was introduced in WandaVision, mm-hmm. and then Miss Marvel, Kamala Khan.
Cool.
Oh. Show premieres in like a week or two.
Yeah. I really wish it was like The Marvels. It was like Roseanne, except superheroes.
That is what WandaVision is in a weird way. When you get to it, WandaVision is like a throwback sitcom starring
the
Wanda
whole
and Vision.
Thing is? I thought it was.
It's really actually one of the most interesting things they do. Whether it's good or bad.
Cool.
Is
I
up
thought
to,
that it was. Parts of it were like that, but it's not all like that.
Yeah, it's meta in that it's a TV show and that they're in and out of. But it's if you grew up on sitcoms, which Lapkus, I feel like you may have been
maybe you and I did a little
raised by TV.
We might have done a little podcast
behind the Stitcher wall.
Yeah, exactly.
Good luck figuring that out.
Good luck figuring out how to access it.
And also don't, because I haven't seen a dime from that.
Yeah, it's okay. You don't have to go out of your way.
Stay with HeadGum, baby. But if you're if you were raised by TV, I think you'll like the WandaVision.
Yeah,
series,
no, I do think that one might be appealing to me. We're gonna watch a little bit of that later, right?
Mm-hmm. I think four episodes.
Oh, cool. That's plenty.
Well, great. So
yeah, that was my deal was that if they watched four episodes, that's still shorter than any of these movies.
Yeah,
that's fair.
So, and I think that'll give them that's a good idea what the show is.
Yeah,
and you'll meet Monica Rambeau.
Yeah,
oh, good
cool character.
Okay.
Well, another little bit of news is that Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 director James Gunn tweeted that filming had wrapped on the upcoming third entry into the series and teased that there is at least one unannounced actor that fans do not yet know about.
One that we do know about, who I'm a big fan of, is Will Poulter.
Who's that?
I love that actor.
Oh, he's a young man, right?
Yeah, he's blonde. a young blonde guy. He's in Midsommar and Detroit. He's in a lot of stuff, but he's, I think, going to be Adam Warlock, which is a
who's
very
Adam
cool
Warlock?
A very cool, like, space celestial character in Marvel. I mean, cool in the comic books that I read when I was 17 years old. God knows how a children's TV program will portray them in the movie. That's the thing. You forget about these movies because the way society treats them. Then you watch this movie and you're like, right, this is a kid's movie.
Yeah, but like not all of them are. Like the last Doctor Strange was not for children.
Okay, and they said asshole twice in this movie.
They did? You counted?
Yeah. Well, the first time I went, huh.
Wow.
And then the
you
second time I went.
You rewatched it, right?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. I was like, well, say it again. I love when people curse. But the second time I heard it, I said, why is asshole the word we've decided is okay to say? Like, people say it on basically network TV at this point.
Yep.
Why asshole? Why? I'm like, there's so many other more fun words.
Like, what?
I think it's because it's medical. Like, I have an issue with my asshole.
That's not medical. No.
Well, you go to the doctor and you say, like, my pussy hurts and my asshole burns.
My pussy hurts and my asshole sores hell.
Yeah.
What are the technical terms? My titties?
Well, it's of course, it starts in my neck, hits the back, and then continues on to my pussy end crack.
Asshole, of course, yeah. All right. Well, we got to take a quick break, and we'll be back with
God.
So much Infinity War.
If you're wondering what a NordVPN is, I'll tell you. VPN stands for Virtual Private Network, a service that protects your internet connection and online privacy. A VPN creates an encrypted tunnel for your data. Protect your online identity by hiding your IP address and allow you to use public Wi-Fi hotspots safely. I'm using a NordVPN myself. And honestly, it's very easy to use. You connect with one click to enable auto connect for zero click protection. It has amazing speed. NordVPN is one of the fastest VPNs out there, and it supports every major platform: Windows, Android, iOS, Linux, even Android TV. You can switch your virtual location to access apps and websites in other countries. Get an exclusive NordVPN deal here at nordvpn.com/newcomers. NordVPN.com/newcomers. It's risk-free with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. Link is in the episode description.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
And we're back. Okay,
This movie
was 2.5 hours long, and it was written by Christopher Marcus and Stephen McFeely and directed by Anthony and Joe Russo and released on April 27, 2018. I also have a question. Anthony and Joe Russo, brothers?
Yes.
I don't think you should say Anthony and Joe Russo. I think it should be Anthony Russo and Joe Russo. You're not a married couple.
I agree.
I see what you're saying.
In the credits, it said that, and I thought, what's the deal with that?
Right. Or they should get a title like the Russo brothers. Like,
yeah.
They should come up with something.
Yeah.
Because that's pretty much what everyone called. Those dudes, I don't know about their start, but one of their first gigs that everyone got to know them on was Community.
They directed. Okay, because I know those names.
Yeah, you've probably worked with them as a guest star at some point.
Or a guest director
from them coming on to a show you guys were on.
Yeah.
Gotta say, they really broke free and they're doing pretty well.
Yeah, they're doing okay.
I would say they've made quite a name for themselves.
Yeah, a big old splash in the movies. Because they did Civil War. Fucking Captain America one.
Yeah, I think they did
both of them. They did Winter Soldier and Civil War.
The two,
oh, okay.
Which are, I think those are, Civil War is one of the better ones. It's one of the more fun. You guys did this movie already, right? The airplane hangar fight is so fun when Ant-Man grows. Like, that's fun. You know, okay, never mind. Let's get back to this one.
I know. Remembering is another thing.
Wait, what about Ant-Man growing?
honestly, don't worry about it. Okay. I'm starting to feel like a listener of this, but I'm going to go on the Reddit and be like, these fucking bitches don't pay attention to anything!
There's just so much.
I wish they would have real fans on that really do the stuff. Oh! So you have checked out the thread.
Oh, yeah. Despite everything I know and everything I've learned, I still every once in a while put my finger in the electrical socket that is reading the Reddit.
I know. Sometimes I do that, too. And I think, why?
There's a nice man on Twitter who keeps tweeting at me things to watch before we record. And I'm like, No.
How about just the movie I have to talk about, which I do not fully enjoy. So do not add, hey, if you hate this movie, here's some extra homework to go with it. Like, get the fuck out of here, dude.
Okay, so let's jump into the plot of this.
Yes.
To the 2.5 hour part one.
Shut up.
It's so wild that they were like, we can't tell this story in under 2 hours.
Because I think they could. I could find some places.
I think so too.
A little bit of fat. All right. Well, in space, the Black Order, or Children of Thanos, attack the Asgardian refugee ship headed for Earth, as we saw at the end of Thor Ragnarok, and kill 50% of the passengers on board. Thanos reveals that he has acquired the Power Stone, and with the help of the Infinity Gauntlet, he seeks to wield all 6 Infinity Stones. He tortures Thor until Loki hands over the Tesseract, which hosts the Space Stone. They fight back. Heimdall summons the Bifrost to send Hulk, all these old names we're bringing back, to send Hulk to Earth.
That's Idris.
Oh yeah. And Hulk had a lot of really weird moments in this movie that I'd like to
so
talk
many
about.
Weird moments.
Oh my God. Okay. And Thanos kills him. Heimdall or Hulk? Loki pretends to pledge loyalty to Thanos and then attempts to stab him, and Thanos kills him too and takes the Tesseract. 2 stones down, 4 to go.
Okay, so when he fucking kills Thanos, I was like, they don't give a shit about nobody in this franchise. But then I was like, doesn't Loki have his own series? But then I was like, oh, maybe his series takes place before that? I don't fucking know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You'll see it. And the multiverse skews everything up, too. But Loki's like a bad guy 2 movies ago. How much are we supposed to give a shit about him in this?
Yeah, that's confusing to me because he's bad, but then he helps Thor. And
when he's in Ragnarok, he's all funny. I'm like, Ragnarok kind of threw me off for like,
it was
one of my favorite movies that we've watched, but I was like,
it's
so
totally
everyone has the ability to be
all of them.
Yeah, and that's why I liked it. He had the ability to be funny and stuff. And then like in these movies, like, I'm not funny anymore. I don't ever make a joke again. Like Thor like is not funny in this.
No, he's not. He's just like really hell bent on like getting that fucking hammer back.
I know, and it's kind of sad.
Yeah, I'm like, you're nothing without your hammer. Oh my God. God bless.
He really started to look pretty pathetic, I will say. And there, can I also say, there were some moments, I just have to brag a little bit, where I was predicting lines and plot points.
Wow.
I literally go, oh, he's gonna, and then I would just like say the line, and then they would say it. And then I was like, oh, no, now he's gonna make himself the axe out of the part of himself. And then I was like, here we go. I mean,
wow, you called Groot becoming the handle for Stormbreaker?
I'm assuming you
used all those correct terminologies.
I did.
You're like, Mike, wake up. Look, Groot is going to be the handle for Stormbreaker.
He was yelling at me to wake up, but I was like asleep going, Groot's the handle.
You were in like a fever.
Wait, Groot was like a teenager in
this? I know, because we skipped the part where he was a baby. Because last time we saw him, he was dancing in a pot, right?
Yeah.
And now he's a teen who plays video games.
He like sacrifices himself at the end of Guardians 1 and then
he goes, we are Groot, and I cried.
I know, that really got you.
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad you guys skipped Guardians 2. That's one of my least favorite of this Marvel phase.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but I love, even though it features Kurt Russell, who's like, you know, a legend, but... I'm glad you guys jumped to this.
Isn't Kurt Russell in that Christmas movie I enjoyed so much?
Probably.
Yeah, he really is.
Kurt Russell as Santa Claus. Yes.
That Christmas movie I enjoyed so much.
Yeah, I don't even have to. I don't even want to know more details.
Funny. Last week I found out that she loves network television.
I've watched all of This Is Us, all of Million Little Things.
Oh, I love it so much.
Oh,
it's so funny to me.
And in all honesty, the stuff Lapkus has described so far is on the higher end of her taste levels.
Thank you.
The shit she watches.
Yeah, that's like a
the
good
shit she
show.
Watches is like upsetting, like on a societal level.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I watched this show where little people get married to foreigners from outside who don't speak, you know, and it's like, wait, what is this show?
Little People Day Fiancé.
No, I do love Little People Big World, though, and that's a fantastic show. And
I think I combined five of your ideas.
I started to say last week, but I can tell you a little more now. That there is some drama brewing on Little People Big World and it's getting really good.
You couldn't tell us last week.
I couldn't. I couldn't get into it. There wasn't enough time.
And there's plenty of time this
week. Zach was trying to buy the farm from Matt.
Oh, no.
And then
oh, no.
Matt basically said, not a good enough offer. And then Zach moved to another city with his family, which is kind of mean to the family, if you ask me. But anyways, there's a lot of drama. I'm hoping it'll work out.
Back to this 2.5 hour synopsis. So Hulk crashes into the New York Sanctum Sanctorum and turns back into Bruce Banner, informing Doctor Strange and Wong about Thanos's imminent arrival. They find Tony Stark, who's out in Central Park with Pepper Potts. The heroes debrief about Thanos's plan to use the Infinity Stones to wipe out half of the life in the galaxy and determine that Thanos will be searching for the Earth and Time Stone held in Doctor Strange's necklace and the Mind Stone that lives in Vision's forehead. Vision's been missing since Captain America's Civil War. Tony reluctantly pulls out a flip phone that Steve Rogers mailed him, and he's about to make a call when...
Yeah, and why was it a flip phone?
Because what? Captain America wouldn't have new tech.
I thought that too, but I'm like, he still has one from the 90s.
Yeah, that is funny.
It's not like he pulled out an old rotary phone or
maybe
something.
He was just like, an iPhone's too much, tap it, touch it, and tap it. No, thank you.
I think it's one of those, like, Chris Evans is... Captain America is what, like, half of Americans think they are. Like, I'm just an old school guy in a new school world.
That's
it's like,
hilarious.
Captain America has fucking morals and helps people, you fucking nuts. But a lot of people are like, I just have a flip phone because I'm archaic and make people deal with me as a fucking problem. It's like, oh,
yeah.
Sick, dude. So I think that's supposed to be a cute moment. How right do they get rich tech guy's wardrobe with the way Tony Stark is dressed here, with sort of like elite performance wear that looks. Yes, he looks like
in these like flares. He was wearing flares.
He made him look a lot older.
Now, this is where the movie gets really. I mean, we'll talk. I'll listen to the next episode, but yeah. He's really old in this, like, and it's starting to show, and he's still supposed to be playing like a 40-year-old playboy or whatever.
But he's not. He's fucking old,
old. But he can be still young. He is young to me. I do feel that the actor feels young.
Yes.
Why? But the movie feels style, youthful. They were making his face, they didn't do many favors. I don't know what they
No,
were
and
doing.
They gave him those Stan Lee glasses that helped
yeah,
him.
Yeah, yeah. And he like lost a little bit of weight, so those flares really
thin.
Hit him in the weirdest
yeah, he's
places.
He's a little gaunt.
That's
yeah.
what
old.
It was. That's what it was. Oh, no, 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 no. So
so then a giant wheel in the sky keeps on turning. That's what I kept singing every time the bad guy's ship would show up.
Oh, my
wheel
God.
That ship was funny. It was like just a big wedding ring flying through the air.
Trying to find you.
Yeah. to go
I'm
on your
for
big
love.
Toe.
So, okay, the Black Order invades New York City. Wong, Strange, Tony, and Bruce go out to attack them, but Bruce is oddly unable to transform into the Hulk, which I thought
which was
sick.
So weird. And
he's
the
like,
Hulk was like,
ugh!
No.
He was like, ugh. He was like, ugh.
No.
No. No. I was like, what are you doing?
It
Stop
feels
this.
Dumb.
It felt
feels
like
dumb.
He was trying to come.
It was yeah. It was totally like that. It was really weird.
I've been there. Like, you're just trying to soft come at the end. You're like,
you're like
I swear to God,
hold,
I could do this. I could do. I know, it's embarrassing. I'm almost done. Dry firing at the end.
No.
It's dumb storytelling because, like, it is interesting that the Hulk and Dr. Banner are in a constant struggle for control of their form, but it's so dumb that it's like, the reason he can't turn into Hulk is because it would be hard to write why he isn't kicking everybody's ass here.
Is that
like,
what
it's
it
so
is?
Obvious? Because
like, yeah, because if he was there,
if they had the Hulk, they'd be fine against these two guys because the Hulk
yeah.
they is so powerful. They've demonstrated that too many times in previous movies. So they're like, let's make it hard for the Hulk to come through.
Yeah, I didn't really like the battle that Mark Ruffalo was having with himself, and I also felt like some of the graphic whatever stuff on that was not that amazing. Like he was like such a tiny little head in that big suit, and I was like, this doesn't seem right.
There's a shot at the end of the movie where they're like gathering around Vision before Thanos comes and mercs all of them,
mm-hmm.
And Ruffalo's in the back in that
yes.
Iron Man suit is called the Hulkbuster suit. Mm-hmm. He's in the Hulkbuster.
That was
suit.
The moment I'm talking about.
And
his head
floating. Yeah,
yes,
it's, just like, it's clear.
No, it literally was like I was like it looks like when you like do that Instagram thing of like cutting out a picture and like putting it over something in a story or something where it's just like.
Yeah, just a little head, a square
that's
on a
so
body.
Funny.
It's like weirdly moving. Yeah. And it's so far in the back. It's like this big. That's like one of the worst effects in the movie.
Was a crazy one. That's the one I was talking about. It was so fucking weird.
I know. It stood out to me. I missed it on every other viewing. On this one, I couldn't unsee it once I saw it.
So meanwhile, Peter Parker and Ned Leeds notice the spaceship while on a bus headed to the MoMA for a field trip. Ned causes a distraction so Peter can suit up and join Iron Man. Ebony Maw, Tom Von Lawler, abducts Doctor Strange, and he flies the spaceship away, unaware that both Iron Man and Spider-Man are stowed away. On Earth, Bruce Banner calls Steve Rogers himself.
I didn't realize his name was Ebony Maw.
Ebony Maw, I know, right?
I have to look at who that is.
AKA,
it's like a porn name.
Short answer, like to translate that to like more common English, his name is Black Mouth.
Oh, really?
Well, I mean, Ebony is famous. Yeah, Maw is a mouth. Ebony is the black stone. It feels sort of. It feels
Black Mouth.
You said it was a porno name, and then it's even harder.
Okay, wait. I have a deep black mouth. Call me Ebony Maw.
Oh no, the Ebony Maw's here to finish us all off.
Ooh, beware of my black mouth.
That character, I hated.
Yeah,
you know which one this one is? That little nasty thing? Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Who had no nose. He kind of looked like a fish, like a big walking fish.
Yeah, like the flat face. The thing I don't like about the Sons of Thanos or the Dark Order, whatever they're called, the Children of Thanos, like, I don't understand what Ebony Maw's powers are. And this is just me being like old man comic book. I like when the power sets are understandable. Like that's why Doctor Strange is kind of annoying, because it's just like his magic allows him to do anything. And it's like he does too many different things in this movie where you're like, well, then why can't you just win if you can do all this weird shit? And Ebony Maw has like full control over stuff, but that's it. And it's like, that doesn't seem like that powerful of a thing compared to other people, but it's vague. And then there's a big guy with an axe that a woman who's good at hand-to-hand combat, or a female presenting alien that's good at hand-to-hand combat. And then a
How progressive of you.
Yeah, you're
I'm not going to say
they're they're not coming for me today.
No.
A female presenting alien.
I told you I looked at the Reddit once, right? And I aged 100 years like I was the fucking Ark of the Covenant. I was like, I can't talk on podcast anymore. No, but I mean, like, and then there's another dude who fights with a staff well, and it's like, what are these, like, why are we supposed to be scared of them? And
I
why
agree.
Does Thanos need anybody to do his bidding?
I know, because also he can literally do anything
he wants.
Fucking teleport with a glove. It's like, just show up in New York, grab Doctor Strange and rip it off. But they have to build this storyline so that there's some ways people to defeat along the way. Like,
but I guess it might be like Thanos is too busy thinking, so he has like his assistants go out and do some work for him.
He's got to ponder exactly how much half is. Like, well, what if it's a little kid? Is that count as, is that a half a person? Oh no, they eat less, you know? Or like Leah says, like, why not double the resources with the snap of your finger? Just make
make it better.
This is like the billionaire's problem.
Make a shit ton of extra bananas.
You know, billionaires could fix everything and they won't. I just can't.
Well, rewatching these movies with like 10 years of a handful of years behind me, and it's like the answers are all like the government, billionaires, individual heroes. It's like, this is exactly what's wrong with society. Yeah. It's like, everyone's like, don't worry about Roe versus Wade. Don't worry about gun control. Captain America will save us. And it's
I
like,
know.
Bro, if there's a person named Captain America, they're a bad guy now. So like, get the fuck out of here with that. We're toast. No heroes are coming for us.
I know. Isn't that horrible?
It is horrible. Okay.
Where would you guys move? Okay, let's keep going.
I would move to the planet Vormir with Red Skull.
Oh, yeah. When that fucking red man came back, I was like, oh.
No.
Are we gonna have? I was like, I don't want you here.
I know. I was so upset to see him.
Meanwhile, in space, the Guardians of the Galaxy answer a distress call from Thor's ship. After this Mantis? I don't know what Mantis is.
Which one is Mantis?
Mantis is the woman with the two things that sticks out of her head who joins Guardians of the Galaxy. Like,
she's
late
really
in the
a cool looking character.
I liked Mantis, who's played by Pom.
Her name? Pom Clemente?
Clemente?
That's
a
really
a
cool
fun
name. Pom. Yeah. Wow, how cool.
Yeah, I like Pom.
Yeah.
She's an empath who joins in Guardians of the Galaxy 2, wakes up Thor, tells him about Thanos' plan. And this is of particular interest to Gamora, Thanos' former daughter. Thor tells him that the Power Stone, which the Guardians left on Xandar and Guardians of the Galaxy, has been taken and Xandar destroyed. Star-Lord, Gamora, Mantis, and Drax decide to go to the Nowhere, where the Collector has the Reality Stone since Thor, the Dark World. Thor, Rocket, and Groot, now a teenager, plan to go to Nivandilar so that Thor can get a new hammer.
Yeah.
Now, I thought this, when I first saw this movie, and even on this rewatch, this scene is really funny, the way they're talking about Hemsworth. I think this is like when Marvel gets comedy right. Marvel does a little too much like non-comedy comedy, where a lot of people are like, yikes, awkward, okay, believe it or not, just threw up in my mouth a little, like a lot of that shit. But I thought this scene was really funny, like playing off how hot Thor is, and then God help us all, Chris Pratt being maybe the only person in this movie who self-deprecates ever.
I know.
And it's like, the movie is so chock full of heroes that you've, like, there's no, and everyone's kind of like vying, and I think Chris Pratt, who I don't love Star-Lord or the Guardians of the Galaxy movies, but he's very strong in this scene. He gets annoying later when he blows it like five straight times. But him and Drax, the Dave Bautista alien
guy.
Oh,
I love Drax.
They're so funny together, especially where he's like, why are you talking like him? Like when he you know, like, and that's just such like, and it also calls out a little bit that like Thor and Star-Lord live in the same world, and Thor's an ancient god and Star-Lord is a dude with like a mixtape and a spaceman helmet. Like, and they're like equals in the, and we're supposed to believe they're equals, but it's like there's this fun element here where they demonstrate there is a little envy, a little jealousy, a little bit of some status in the Avengers
world. Like the Guardians people had some funny stuff in terms of like the comedy, like when Chris Pratt like jumped back into that thing and like gave the middle finger and was like peace or whatever, like that was funny. It doesn't sound funny when I say it out loud. But you know what I mean,
you've never sounded more like a teenager.
You know, I was like, really, you know what he's like, he's like that was really funny.
that was really funny.
I was like really laughing. That's like how my nephew talks. So, okay, Vision and Wanda, who've been living a normal life in Scotland, which I enjoyed seeing, by the way.
Yeah, I liked it. It was like that. Romantic and cute.
It was.
They're weirdly like adult in this movie. Like their storyline is like oddly mature compared to all the other storylines. And I think it plays out well in WandaVision, but I think here it's like, I have to sacrifice myself. We finally have fallen for each other. Mm-hmm. And it's like, that's just like, arguably too interesting for Marvel movies.
I know. Well, I liked that.
Yeah.
I liked it too. It's nice. Like real stakes.
Yeah, and it felt important at the end when like So they got ambushed by two more of Thanos' children and the rest of Team Cap, which is a bearded Steve Rogers,
Sam
Wilson. Yeah,
he looks sick as hell. I hated it.
Ugh. I didn't like the beard. I know.
Yuck.
He's so much hotter.
Oh, see,
that beard and the longish hair.
Sick as hell is a compliment.
I know, but I meant it as like ill. He looked disgusting.
Oh, well, ill is also a cop, dog. He looks fucking ill.
Unwell. Okay, nasty. Fair. Yuck.
See, I thought he looked hot with the beard, and I'm not gonna lie, when he catches that spear, that's pretty fucking, like his reveal of when the train goes, like they hear something and then they whip the spear at him and he catches it. That was
He's a hot character without a
The beard is not
the,
for
the
me.
Beard did not, I agree, the beard did not work for me. I've liked him in every other film, and I've
I love when Thor's like, I see you copied my beard later
that
on.
Yeah,
like,
funny.
I guess
he had some humor.
I think there's some fun humor in that lead up to that fight too, where like he's like, I'm here, tree, and what he keeps, rabbit, he's like, this is tree and rabbit, and he goes,
which is funny,
I am Groot,
he
goes, I am Steve Rogers.
Yes, that was funny.
Yeah, that was good.
I'm Steve Rogers.
Yeah, he was so polite. Okay, wait, so the rest of the Team Cap, so it's Steve Rogers, Sam Wilson, and Black Widow come to their aid and take them to the Avengers compound, and a flashback shows how young Gamora was adopted by Thanos after he destroyed her family.
In the present, Gamora makes Peter Quill promise to kill her if Thanos shows up because she has crucial information that would lead to one of the stones.
This was so funny when Grax, what's his name? Drax. When he was standing there and they're like, how long have you been there? And he's like, an hour. If I don't move, you cannot see me.
He says, I've been practicing standing still.
It's
and
so
then
he's funny.
Slowly, he's like, you're eating a Zargnut. And he's like...
But do you know what's crazy? Like, this movie didn't seem funny at all to me. I think because Ragnarok was like every joke was fun, every line was a joke, that like it felt like there was not much comedy in this at all because it was so spread out. But when we're talking about it, I'm like, oh, I guess there were moments that were kind of funny and interesting.
Yeah. But it's like that level of funny that is in like a big major blockbuster action movie. And I think I think like Ragnarok and maybe Guardians of the Galaxy 1 have it like ratcheted up higher than and I think that's because of Taika and James Gunn can like bring that skill set. And the Russo brothers aren't comedy neophytes, but they owe so much shoe leather in this movie that it's like they can't even have jokes because it's like we have to get to 11 different planets with 40 different characters.
It's very
dense. That is true.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's keep going. They get to nowhere and seemingly defeat Thanos, but it was all a trick thanks to the Reality Stone, which Thanos acquired before they arrived. Three down, three to go. Thanos messes with the Guardians and then kidnaps Gamora before Peter can bring himself to kill her.
I did like how the gun was bubbles. That was fun.
I do like that he does pull the trigger, pointing it at the woman he loves.
It's like, oh, like, wow, that's, so he would sacrifice her.
Yeah,
he tried. And then also it absolves you of being mad at him, too, you know, as the character, because we'll get mad at him again later.
Oh, yeah, baby. And then I was just like, if this man can trick all of reality, why doesn't he do that to get the rest of his stones?
You know.
Yeah.
You know, like if you have a reality stone, just like change reality. Okay. At the Avengers compound, James Rhodes, who is also little, he's like, he just seems smaller than normal, argues with the Secretary of State, Thaddeus Ross, that he needs Steve, Natasha, Sam, Vision, and Wanda, even though they're fugitives. They arrive and reunite with Rhodey and Bruce Banner. We also learn that Hawkeye and Ant-Man, the remaining members of Team Cap, are unavailable to help because they made a deal with the government and under house arrest with their families, which is like, as a superhero, you could do that? You could just opt out?
I know.
Well, this is so like they have to like resolve shit that happened in Civil War and stuff. And they're like, and this happens a little too fast. If you, it's like, look, we have to do it. It's like, all right, fine. You're like, oh, okay.
Like, but it's I'm like, glad. You didn't have a budget to just throw two more people in. You didn't have that.
Is that what it was? Or just too many plots being added?
Probably too many plots. Yeah. They make a plan to destroy the Mind Stone without killing Vision and decide that to do so, they must visit Wakanda, which I was like, don't bring this to Africa. Leave them alone.
Well, there's layers going on here because you're like, oh, in Wakanda is where they got the best tech ever. But it is like not at all Wakanda's problem right now.
Yeah.
Right.
It is not at all. Black Panther is not involved in this at all.
And it's like they shouldn't even know about it.
Right. And it's like, don't worry. We'll go to their house and bring the whole fucking drama down upon us. Yeah.
They really fucking
fix everything. Yeah.
There, T'Challa and Aoki deliver a new vibranium arm to Bucky Barnes. And he looks at that arm and he's like, where's the fight? And I was like, is he deprogrammed or not? Like,
Bucky
he seems
Barnes.
Like that's what he, every time he sees that fucking arm, he's like, I gotta go kill.
He has no personality. I can't stand the character.
No, I enjoy the movie Winter Soldier. Like, I think he's good in that as like a bad guy, but I don't I don't give a fuck about him the way Steve Rogers or
Loves
the writers
Bucky.
Of the Marvel movies do. Yeah.
But because I feel like when we saw him in the first time in Captain America, that was when he had like a personality and a life and you might have cared a little bit. But then like that got taken away completely. I mean, I like the actor in I liked Pam and Tommy. That was
Sebastian
good.
Stan. He's really good. Mm-hmm.
And he's like really hot in other things.
And not
like
in this.
Character is like, because the character has no spark to it.
No spark. And I also wish they gave him a little bit of personality where he like chose to wear the African garb for more of the movie.
Why didn't he? We only wore that for like 5 seconds.
For 5 seconds. I want to see him in kente cloth and his iron arm fucking fighting. Because at one point he's like, I love it here.
I like that they call him the White Wolf. I think that's like
so
a fun
funny.
That's a fun name too.
Okay, so back in space, what you want to say something?
No, we'll go back.
What, you want to say something?
No, actually, I don't. We can get out of here without speaking.
Back in space, Tony Stark discovers Peter Parker on the spaceship, and the two of them rescue Doctor Strange. They decide to go after Thanos themselves. Meanwhile, Thanos successfully tortures Gamora's sister Nebula, who she made up with in Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, for the location of the Soul Stone. He departs with Gamora once he has that information, and Nebula sends a message to the Guardians to meet her on the planet Titan.
I do think Nebula's torture looks fucking intense, the way
it
they have
is.
Her like,
they, like
sort
oh
of, like,
my
cross,
god I know
cross sectioned out because she's yeah. like an android, so like to be able to pull her pieces out like that, that's fucking terrifying.
That was
seems
horrible.
Mean
yeah.
And Thor and his team of Guardians arrive at Nidavellir and meet a giant dwarf named Eitri, who's played by Peter Dinklage, who agrees to make him a new hammer.
So we learn that Peter Dinklage made the gauntlet that Thanos is, and then his hands have been like bound in steel, so or in metal, vibranium probably, so he can't make another weapon, and they have to. I love this. It's so dumb, but it's so different than other action where everyone is punching or shooting at mm-hmm. one person.
Yeah,
it was just cool to see. A big action set piece, even though it's all digital video game cutscene looking shit. I just appreciated that it's not a straight up fight that we're watching yeah. in this other place.
Mm-hmm.
And Thor's biceps might be a huge part of why I like this entire.
I mean,
scene
they're
as
nice
well.
And juicy.
Yeah. yeah,
when he's holding it open as the blast of the star is going uh-huh. through him, his silhouette of his fucking biceps and delts are unreal.
Yeah, he's extremely built,
so
yeah.
built. And I like the part where Peter Dinklage is like, "That'll kill you," and then Thor's like, "I'll die," and he was like, "That's what killing you means." That made me yeah. laugh.
He goes, "Yeah," he goes. It'll kill you. He's like, so then I'll die. He's like, yeah. What are we talking about?
That's not great.
I also yeah. like there's a simple logic of like, this will kill you. He's like, so will fighting Thanos without the weapon.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Like,
so he was
oh,
willing
okay,
to take
it.
The yeah. risk. Yeah.
yeah.
So Tony, Steven, and Peter crash their spaceship onto Titan, where they immediately go to meet the Guardians of the Galaxy and discover they have similar goals. I like when they were fighting each other because they didn't know who anybody was. And then they had to like be like, who are you? That was fun for me.
Uh-huh.
They brainstorm plans to defeat Thanos while Doctor Strange looks into a bunch of possible futures. He says that they will only win in one of those possibilities.
That was a line that I predicted. So he goes, there's 14,605,000 whatever possible futures. And then they're like, and then how many do we win? And I was like, one.
One.
And he goes, one. And I was like, I can write this shit. I mean, I couldn't come up with half of how the movie works outside of that, but I could do little lines here.
But like, why didn't Doctor Strange use the time stone to go back in time to stop Peter Dinklage from making him the
you
fucking-
You can't
hand,
ask
the hand
these
thing.
Questions.
Or
That's
go
the
back in time.
That's the problem with these movies is they set up so many extremely powerful beings, then they have to somehow figure out another being like Thanos who's more powerful than all of them put together.
Yeah.
And it's like, we've seen so many elaborate stunts from all of our heroes, and now we're supposed to believe that none of them can like fight Thanos. It's like, and then who's next? Like,
I know,
what
and they were
in?
All teamed up together and it wasn't mm-hmm. enough. I was like,
right.
what?
Yeah, and it's like we've seen Doctor Strange use the time stone against Dormammu in his movie
mm-hmm.
where he like traps him in a time loop.
Yeah, why doesn't he trap fucking this dude in a time loop?
And you never can tell what's going to work on Thanos and what isn't. Like, it's just so arbitrary where it's like, whoa, Spider-Man's able to pull him down with his webs. Oh, he's able to disassemble someone by going like this, like turn them into ribbons.
That was wild. Why didn't he do that for everybody?
So it seems like the major weakness and the flaw in the gauntlet is if you can't close your hand, you can't do any of the spells.
Yeah.
It feels like, right? Because they like shoots, Iron Man shoots something on his hand. They're uh-huh. like constantly holding his hand open.
And then he told the cape, he was like, keep his hand from turning into a fist.
Right.
And then
exactly.
that cape was like, okay. I love that cape.
The cape's awesome. The cape's one of the better actors in the movie.
When the cape flew over to do that, that was good. So Thanos and Gamora teleport to Vormir, where they are surprisingly greeted by Captain America, the first Avenger villain,
Ugh.
Red Skull.
Yuck.
Ross Marquand, previously played by Hugo Weaving.
All right, fun thing about, Ross Marquand, very nice actor dude from Walking Dead. I've worked with him a few times. He got this role, and then also Hugo Weaving is not in the new Matrix either, as he doesn't reprise his role as Agent Smith. A person replaces him there. And then you start to realize, it's like, I think Hugo Weaving's one of those dudes was like, what? I thought I was doing one fucking movie. You want me to come back? I can't. Come on. I did a trilogy already. Like, it feels like he's just like, to be okay with being replaced in the Marvel Universe.
I know.
Universe,
what's
that's
going
very
on.
Funny.
He must just not need money at all. He must be sitting on stacks of
right.
But like, he's a red man. So it's not like his face. I'd be like,
well,
yeah,
honestly,
go ahead.
I didn't realize it was a different person.
Me either.
And that's something.
Yeah. Well, yeah. It doesn't matter because it is arbitrarily injected that Red Skull is up there. It's just to have to fill up the movie with more characters to applaud to.
Yeah. All right. So Red Skull has the Soul Stone. So Red Skull tells Thanos that he must sacrifice what he loves. This part was crazy.
Mm-hmm.
He must sacrifice what he loves the most in order to obtain the stone. And Thanos throws Gamora over a cliff to her death, which basically proved that he does love her and he got the stone. I was like, wait, so he loves her?
Yeah, he stole a baby. Whenever you steal a baby, you love that baby.
But the whole thing was that she hates him and it felt like that he didn't love her.
Right. And that's what I think, like, because what does she think is going to happen? Like, aha, like you love nothing, yeah. So you can't get the Soul Stone. And he's like, actually, I love you. And she's like, huh?
And he's like,
he steal that baby to, like, learn how to love so that later in life he could get a Soul Stone? What a long con.
That is a long con. It's a lot of work.
It's too really, much
just,
work.
Just for
I
one stone?
Never.
Mm-mm, just
yeah,
buy
no,
it.
No, thank you. You don't
just buy it. Well, back
just,
to Wakanda.
Aren't you enough with five stones, Thanos? Like, four?
Yeah.
Isn't four stones pretty powerful?
It's a lot. So back in Wakanda, the Earthbound Avengers are greeted by T'Challa and Bucky. They ask Black Panther's little sister, Shuri, if she can safely extract the Mind Stone from Vision, and she confirms that she can. Wanda stands by, ready to use her powers to destroy the stone the moment Shruti finishes. However, time is running out as Thanos' army arrives.
And Black Panther gathers the Dora Milaje, is that right?
I think so.
Because I heard it said two different ways in the film. Royal Guard, Border Tribe, and the Jabari Tribe led by M'Baku, accompanied by Captain America, Bucky Barnes, Falcon, Rhodey, Black Widow, and Bruce Banner.
Too many.
Who's wearing the Hulkbuster armor we first saw Tony Stark wear in Age of Ultron. And they decide to let the alien army through the barrier and start fighting. And this part was also pretty crazy. Now, I don't love a long fight scene, but I thought this one was kind of interesting with how they had this like blue fence, basically, keeping everyone out. And then they let them in to fight them. I was kind of like, why did you even let them in?
Because they
I
couldn't get surrounded.
Right. Because if they surrounded them, they wouldn't be able to defend every section.
Because
they were there with all the warriors.
Mm-hmm.
Glad we get to say M'Baku, who I love. That
I love M'Baku. He's so hot.
What's that? He's so hot. What's that actor's name? Winston Duke.
Yeah,
Winston Duke.
Oof.
He's a fucking hunk, and he's
my god.
He's a good character. He's very fun in the Black Panther movie too.
Yeah,
you guys did
like
Black
him.
Panther already.
Yeah,
right?
we did Black Panther, and I liked him in it. I just gotta say, if I was from Wakanda, I'd be like, "Are you kidding? These white people brought this."
Well, I love this fight sequence too. I think it's really fun, and it's fun to see Thor show up, kind of total badass, new lightning god powers.
Ooh, that
and
was
shit.
Fun.
But again, I don't understand why Thanos needs an army.
What are we doing?
Like, he needs an army to get the stone to get rid of half of everybody, ostensibly probably including his army of aliens, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, wait, if you don't have that army of aliens, is there less resources needed, bud? Is like,
right.
Is your whole plan, like, it feels like some right-wing idea of, like, the only answer is to kill half of the unhoused people. It's like, well, what if we just house people? It's I don't know. I think the resource-wise, we gotta kill them. And it's like, you have thousands and thousands of beings working for you, and you want to snap your finger and get rid of half the event. Vision doesn't even fucking eat food. He doesn't even
He's not even using resources.
Like, what resources are you talking about? Maybe Wakandans can fucking research their way out of it. Like, let's try something. Like, it's anything's possible. But I do enjoy this sequence. The highlight for me, though, is like, and this is when I was in the theater, saw this for the first time, I started like getting really giddy, is when they decide to charge and everyone's charging, But because of superpowers, Black Panther and Captain America are ahead of everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And I just kind of dig that because it's like they've squared off once or twice in the Civil War. And you know that like they both have like similar strength and agility. And it's really fun to watch the two of them enter combat, like because everyone's running and then they just slowly head out of the pack because everyone in Wakanda is also a badass, super agile person, just not like they are.
Not
and
like
it's just
them.
And it's just like a fun version, a fun example of seeing them be badass. And like, I like these scenes in movies where it's like tons of bad guys that are like arguably fodder. So you just let all your main characters show off their cool weapons and powers. Like, like Rhodey is just fucking blowing grenades on everybody and shit. It's like, what, dude? Like, it's always funny when everyone's like shooting laser beams and lightning and then like, then fucking Winter Soldier is shooting like an AR-15 like he's a fucking gravy seal at the Capitol on January 6th.
Gravy seal. I've never heard that.
Those fat guys with fucking beards and those guys who look like me who stand with guns at protests and shit. Those are the gravy seals.
That's so funny. Gravy seals.
Oh my God.
So meanwhile, Thor and Rocket successfully revive the Star Core of Nividar, needed to forge a new hammer. But because of the damage, Thor has used his own body for the device to work. In a pinch, Groot offers one of his branches as Stormbreaker's handle. They immediately use the hammer to summon the Bifrost and arrive in Wakanda.
And Thanos arrives on Titan and is greeted by Doctor Strange, who distracts him while Iron Man, Spider-Man, and the rest of the Guardians attack. Mantis uses her powers to put Thanos to sleep, and they almost have the gauntlet. This was crazy. So she's on his head, like, basically
holding
his head.
I was like, this is it? This is all we needed to do?
I sort of thought,
on his head?
Like, it was weird. She was like, I thought she was, like, protecting him. She was like, he's mourning. He's mourning. And she was, like, pushing his head. And then I guess he was falling asleep, but I thought she was, like, on his side for a second. I was confused. And then they almost have the gauntlet, and Star-Lord learns that Gamora is dead, and he reacts emotionally.
Boy, oh boy.
And, like, goes to, like, slap fucking Thanos, and then they lose focus and they lose the gauntlet, and Thanos gains the upper hand and stabs Tony Stark, which was insane.
Mm-hmm.
Then Doctor Strange gives Thanos the Mind Stone in exchange for Tony's life, which also was insane.
Because he said earlier, he was like, I'll let that kid die, I'll let you die, I'll let all my friends die. I'm keeping this stone.
Yeah, and then they have five stones, and then when Thanos leaves, Strange tells Tony it was the only way.
Because he saw the one outcome, and the one outcome involves Thanos getting all the stones.
That's something I was not thinking of. That was because he knew the future.
He knew that the one outcome that where it works, which is like, again, I like it because it's, but it is bad storytelling to be like, there's only one way. And it's like, well, then I guess we're on that path. Like, so we are going to succeed.
But
then,
only,
we know,
right. Yeah. Well, of course they are, but I was still surprised by the ending, not realizing this was a part one situation.
Yes.
Yeah. I also forgot it was a part one situation where I was like, oh, everybody going to get evaporated?
Yeah.
I guess they're going to restart the fucking, this is phase nine? I don't know.
Yeah.
Doesn't that, the shit hits when they start turning into dust. Like, that actually
worked
on me.
I like
that. And I think Tom Holland does the best acting. When he's
he
does. He got so into it.
Mr. Stark,
I'm not feeling so good.
But why did he know is everyone else just like okay with feeling a little weird and then they just start dissolving? Like, he was kind of like, I'm dying, I think, or something. But everyone else just kind of disappeared.
Because he's a kid. He's only been in a couple of fights, so like everyone's like, I've been hurt before, but he's like, this is a different kind of hurt.
Oh no, Mr. Stark, I think I'm turning into
dust. He was like, hold me, I'm turning into pebbles.
Back in Wakanda, Wanda leaves Vision's side to join the fight, and Vision soon follows. The fighting ensues, the Avengers catch up, and they're introduced to Groot and Rocket. Things are looking up, but then Thanos arrives. The Avengers line up to stop him while Wanda kills Vision and destroys the stone. However, Thanos uses the fucking time stone to turn back time. Thor plunges his new hammer into Thanos' chest, but it's too late. And then Thanos snaps his fingers.
After seeing young Gamora in a vision, Thanos teleports away Wakanda, leaving the Avengers to figure out what they did. That becomes apparent as half of the heroes and Wakandan army slowly turn to dust and disappear, starting with Bucky Barnes. Heroes also turn to dust on Titan, leaving Tony Stark alone with Nebula. Thanos returns to his home triumphant.
In a post-credit scene, Nick Fury and Maria Hill, I have no idea who that woman was, experienced
Colby.
Colby Smulders.
Colby what movie Smulders. Is she from?
She's from How I Met Your Mother.
She's also from she's been in she's in S.H.I.E.L.D. She's in the Captain America movies and shit. But yes, she's also in How I
she's
Met Your Mother.
She's in How I Met Your Mother. Another network TV show that Lauren loves.
I haven't really seen that one. But I would.
But I would, don't tempt me. So they experience the result of Thanos' snap in New York City. Vehicles crash after Hill vanishes. Fury hits a button on an enhanced old-fashioned pager. He turns to dust, but the page goes through, and we're left with a smidge of hope in the form of red, blue, and yellow.
I didn't get that.
To Captain Marvel. I didn't get it at all.
I didn't know who that was contacting.
I was like, pagers don't have colors.
Yeah, I didn't get that, but I was like, must be good. Or it got through at least to whoever he was trying to reach. So that's the movie.
A lot fucking happens.
It's
the densest fucking movie I've ever watched in my whole life.
And then now we have half the people. I didn't think that that would be something that would continue into future films. I thought we're not going to lose all these characters. But they must have been sad when they read that they were dissolving at the end.
Yeah, I'd be so pissed. Sad. I'd be like, oh, okay, so I guess I'm done. I'm out.
I guess I get to leave Atlanta for a few weeks, finally.
That's true. Like, maybe they
go
were
see
okay
my
with
family
it.
And shit. Star in another movie.
That's
I've
true.
I had 11 movies. In it. That's the real bummer about these Marvel movies, and I enjoy them, but like Chris Hemsworth, Chris Evans, Chadwick Boseman, these are all great actors that would just be fun to see in other
anything
things.
Else
that,
but
that
they're
is
like
true.
But they're so wrapped up in this contractually that you're like you don't get to see them do like
well,
anything
that was
else.
Like Elizabeth Olsen was like, I missed out on 2015's The Lobster. Yeah. I could have done that movie, but I had to be Wanda.
She was mad.
I get it.
And then you just watch everyone who, like, your friends who you started with, you're like, they're like, so jealous, you're Scarlet Witch. And then, like, all your other friends are like, oh, dude, I'm in an Academy-nominated movie. And it's like, I'm going to be Scarlet Witch on a Disney streamer next. It's like, oh, fun.
always being Scarlet Witch. All right, well, in terms of awards, Infinity War was nominated for an Oscar for Best Visual Effects, except for that part where old guy's head was small, and won Movie of the Year at the People's Choice Awards.
So the film had some truly crazy box office numbers. Its total worldwide gross was $2.048
billion. What? $2 billion?
Making it only the fourth highest grossing film of all time.
What's
what
the
is the highest
one?
Grossing film? Is that Avatar? We're Whoa. Finally getting a sequel. Come through, James Cameron.
Avatar 2. I saw the 3D trailer before I saw Multiverse of Madness in 3D. And the highlight of seeing Doctor Strange 2 in the theaters was the Avatar 2 trailer.
Oh.
That's funny. It's the highest grossing film of 2018.
So the highest grossing films are of Avatar, Avengers Endgame, Titanic, and then this Avengers.
Yeah.
Wow.
So the
wow.
second Avengers does more than $2.4
billion. That's
totally
insane.
$5+ billion.
I mean, that's insane.
One.
Like, how much
that's
do they
crazy.
Get on the back end of that? That's like nuts.
Yeah. How much do people who need food and shelter get of that? Oh, well, slim to none. Enjoy, Disney shareholders.
So it was the highest grossing superhero film. Its worldwide opening weekend was the biggest of all time, beating The Fate of the Furious from 2017. This stat was later beat by Avengers Endgame the following year.
And it got mixed but mostly favorable reviews from critics, holding an 85% approval rating on Rotten Tomatoes.
Stephanie Zacharick of Time said, it isn't really a beginning, but more of a middle or an end with a new piece of yarn attached. You have to see it. And internalized every one of the previous 18 Marvel Cinematic Universe movies to fully get it.
That is true, and we are doing that. So I guess we get it. So let's take a quick break and we'll be back with more Infinity War and some trivia.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Ooh, here's some trivia. So Tom Holland was not allowed to read the script for the movie since he revealed too many secrets for Spider-Man.
Oh my God, he's a funny little kid.
Homecoming 2017, that's so funny. In a promo video, several of the cast members are in an interrogation room refusing to reveal any spoilers. And Tom Holland is in there with his tape, his mouth taped shut.
That is so funny.
It's very funny.
Oh my God.
It's so, like, I love it. That's a dumb fun, like, the youngest actor on set, but it also is just bad. It's just marketing. Now that we all know everything, it's like, everything is fucking marketing. It's mm-hmm. all like, well, yeah. We can't tell Tom. You know, the publicity department is like, all right, well, this next one, we'll do a big thing about, you know, and it's like, oh, and then Tom's people are on the phone. Tom will love that. Tom will love that. Tom will love that. Yeah, Tom will love that. It's 9 more movies he has to do. He'll be 50 when he's done and he'll have no career left. Yeah, okay. Tom will love that.
Oh my God. Okay, well, Josh Brolin, this is weird. He wore a foam headpiece on
Pretty
set
funny.
That was the size of Thanos's head with a camera on his face for visual effects. He also wore various foam parts depending on what the scene called for so that the other actors didn't get too close to him, making sure that Thanos's scale was retained. And he said that he based his character on Marlon Brando's role as Colonel Walter Kurtz in Apocalypse Now.
Okay. Yeah,
which I have not seen.
I saw that.
I think that reads. I think that played. I think it really comes through. Comparing yourself to one of the greatest American actors of all time in a famously deep classic fucking movie, American cinema.
Yeah, I think it came through. I was kind of doing that.
I was kind of doing The Godfather. Oh, okay, cool. Yeah,
I was kind of doing The Godfather.
I love Josh Brolin. I think he's a great actor. But anyone who's talking about making interesting acting choices while you have to wear a giant foam helmet and a camera on your face, like you're lying to yourself a little bit. And I understand that because I've been on productions that are bad and you're like, but you know, it's actually what we're doing. Like, you find all the happiness mm-hmm. in what you're doing because yeah. you have to do it. So you're like, well, it's actually kind of cool what we're doing in selling out. We're selling out in like a different, more interesting way.
Yeah.
And you find, so I get that, but it's also like, have a little fun. Like, oh, you're doing Marlon Brando from Apocalypse Now as Thanos? Okay. Oh, I remember that scene where he's got a giant purple fucking scrotum on his face. You ever seen a snail crawl down the edge of a razor blade? Actual Apocalypse Now line.
Wow, I've never seen it.
Me either. Production for Infinity War took place pretty much simultaneously with Black Panther and Avengers Endgame, allowing teams on all of the movies to work closely together.
Oh,
isn't, nice. That, isn't that the best? You get hired for a Marvel movie.
And you get to do three at once?
Keep track of this, asshole. No, Bucky, switch out your fucking arm. You, Sebastian, wrong arm. Jesus, wardrobe, can we get the right arm? We're shooting Black Panther, not Avengers. Which Avengers?
Oh my God, wait, you got to hear this detail. So Robert Downey Jr. had production ship all of his furniture to Atlanta where shooting took place. On Jimmy Kimmel, he explained, here's the deal, lest I be thought of as some self-involved, snarky, he's got it all thing. You're away from home for a long time, and we bring the cats and the kids. And the cats like this chair, that's where they nap, so let's bring this chair. We thought, as a matter of fact, let's bring the house. So that sums it up. You know,
pretty
what?
Funny to be like, it's not that I'm self-involved, my cats need to nap.
The cats would find another chair they liked because they're a cat.
They're cats.
But
I do think it's fun to have all of your furniture, but I also think, wow, what? Like, I don't. So they rented a house where like the furniture fit the same way, and like it just seems.
It feels crazy. Also, it's crazy that Robert Downey Jr. doesn't own a house in Georgia. Like, just right, buy a house in Georgia, dude. You're a billionaire, and you gotta spend 9 months out of the year there in fucking digital armor.
That's such a good point.
I really enjoy these movies, but do yourself a favor. If you're taking them too seriously, check out some behind the scenes footage. Check out what it looks like when everyone is standing on green blocks in front of a green screen and everyone has different like green X's on their forehead and arms and people have like orange balls on their head and shit. When you see that, it's a fucking magic trick that they end up making a movie. The movie magic is unreal, amazing. I get all that. But then you look at it, you go, I don't know if this is like acting. If you're at the end, if at the end of the day they're going to draw a purple face on your face, like, I don't know how much acting you're doing.
You know, some people are doing some acting though. We got to talk about, we had Wanda and Vision having like some serious
some moments.
Stuff going on. I mean, yes. I feel like there are moments. And I think Robert Downey Jr. is, he's like one of my favorites in the whole franchise.
Well, he's so clearly he's
an amazing actor.
He's an amazing actor. He's clearly the heart or the way into these movies, because Iron Man was kind of like the first big Marvel.
Yeah.
And you see it, and he can do it all. He can sell you when he's sad. He can tell you when you're like, all right, Iron Man, time to kick some ass. But then you also laugh. Like, he is funny. Like, and Tony Stark, the character, is funny. So it doesn't feel like, sometimes it feels a little phony where it's like, you're telling me the raccoon, the blue lady, the green bald guy, the fucking tree, and Chris Pratt are all funny quipsters. Like, that feels a lot. But like, when characters are like the TV show Friends, it's like Chandler's the only one who is funny.
Yeah,
like they all are funny and do funny things and say funny things, but within the context of the show,
they're no funny, but they're not actually funny in person. If you were talking to them, you're actually going, Ross is really anxious and freaking out, and it's so annoying.
Right,
but as
and
the
it makes
viewer,
sense because that's
like, that's funny.
Right,
but in the moment, you're like, oh my god, please stop. But then like Chandler's actually making jokes on purpose that are funny.
And then I think sitcoms now are all like everyone sits around and makes jokes, which is fun and it's good writing. But I do feel like it is okay to have a funny person, a funny character, and a character who has no comedy.
Yeah.
Like that, that is something that happens in real life. And I'm assuming even more frequently amongst superheroes who have witnessed or taken place in countless murders.
Yeah.
It's a lot
okay
of them are
to
just
not be funny.
With trauma.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, we have our segment, Is Chris in This?, where we name if a Chris was in this film. Now, this might be our most Chris's ever.
Yeah, Hemsworth, Pratt, Evans.
Wow.
Those
That's
are
a lot
the
of
three I know. Those
Would you want to add any Chris, Christine, or Kristen, or any variety of that to this film?
Chris Tucker.
Chris Tucker.
That'd be great.
Would be a welcome. If he was Ruby Rhode, too, from Fifth Element, just that character, announcing all the Thanos fights would be fucking fun. I say get Chris Messina in there. He's got chops. He's funny. Give him a fucking helmet and a gun or whatever. Just make up some character to have Chris Messina.
Oh, he'd be
in
fun. He's kind of a Mark Ruffalo type.
Oh, yeah. He is a little Mark Ruffalo type, like hunky intellectual guy.
Yeah. I would throw in.
I don't think I know this person. Chris who?
Chris Messina.
He's
from
Mindy
Project. But he's also.
Oh, yes.
He's like an indie darling actor.
Yeah,
too.
He's a lot of indies. I would add Chris Miss Kurt Russell from that great Christmas movie.
Maybe you should watch Guardians of the Galaxy too.
So is a kiss in this film? Was there a kiss?
There was
in this
two
film?
Kisses.
Okay, wait, who kissed?
So
Wanda
Pepper Potts. Oh, three kisses.
Did Wanda and Vision kiss or no?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. And Pepper Potts and Iron Man kiss, and then Gamora and the fucking Star Man they kiss.
Star Lord. Yeah, lots of good kisses. Mm-hmm. And we did get some romance in this
film. Was Lupita not in this movie?
No.
Huh. I wonder why.
Daniel Kaluuya wasn't either.
Yeah, because it felt like a random selection from all of the, like,
yeah,
stuff, right?
Yeah, Nakia is not in it, but Okoye, I forget what how to say their names, but Okoye is in it. And it's interesting. I wonder why they didn't make it.
Yeah.
Well, Kaluuya is a bad guy in Black Panther, right? He ends up being bad.
He ends up being good. Yeah, he turns and then he's like, wait a minute, what am I doing? My girl, my king, I gotta get back.
Because it's funny because you're like, oh, of course it makes no sense to have those two characters in the movie. We don't need 41 recognizable actors, but we have 39 already. Why not just throw two more in and give everyone a paycheck?
Flying to Atlanta for a couple months.
Just do it.
I want everyone to get paid.
This segment's called Five Stark Industries. This is where we read reviews, five-star reviews. Hilly34 said, love it. Wish they were longer. Have a great day.
Oh, thanks for that beautiful, thoughtful review. And we also are reading reviews from Letterboxd. And then we're going to give our one-sentence review ourselves and a star rating. And if you don't know what it is, it's a site where you rate movies. So Letterboxd, this is a 3.5-star review from Alicia. I am Groot. I am Steve Rogers was the most pure exchange between two characters. Also, I almost fell while walking out of my seat. That's how fucked this movie made me. Okay. Whoa.
But only 3.5 stars?
Yeah. The movie made you fucked?
That movie made me fuck.
I went home and fucked after that movie.
The movie is so long.
Horny.
I had to stop and fuck in the middle.
You have to.
It's 2.5 hours and I'm fucking rock hard for the first hour. Just imagining Loki's death over and over again. And I'm like, fuck, I gotta do something. Babe, please, can we fuck during fucking Avengers?
Babe, please.
This review is by Jay. This is 4 stars. Let's stop acting like Thanos is the first Marvel villain to cause catastrophic destruction to the universe when Joss Whedon did enough damage in 2015.
Oh my God.
Ooh, Jay, get at
That's
it.
That's ice cold. Well, what's your one sentence review, Gabrus, and star rating?
My one sentence review is pretty fucking long.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Is it out of 5 stars?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
3.5 stars.
Okay.
Maybe 3.75.
Wow.
But I will say, this is the problem with these movies, and maybe my problem. I am going to watch Endgame today, and I am not going to be on that episode of your show.
Yeah.
And I am going to watch it because I have broken completionist brain, but also it was fun to live back in this world for a little bit because this is the Marvel. This was my last couple of Marvel movies that I enjoyed. So watching this, I was like, oh, sick. Okay. Maybe I'll do Endgame again and I'm going to throw it on in the background. Disney Plus. I'm a member. So take my 3.7.
I don't know about you, but I got Disney Plus. I got $20 extra a month.
Yeah, whatever. I don't even know how much
it costs. How much is it?
That's how much rich. That's how rich I am, is that if I did the math on how many streaming services I have, I would have to move back home with my mom. That being said, a 3.5 rating, but I'm going to watch the sequel, something I've seen before, and is even bigger and more bloated than this. But I do think it all pays off.
More bloated if everybody's dust?
Well, you'll see. You'll see. Okay. It's longer than this movie.
Oh my God.
It does pay off. It does resolve. And I do think it does build. I'm excited for you guys because I do think it actually builds to a powerful ending, which is cool, not a lot of stuff does these days.
Yeah.
Stuff falls apart towards the end.
Lauren.
Okay, Nicole. My turn. I would give this, I would give it 3.5, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
It had moments and it wasn't, I've definitely watched worse things in this, season. So I feel that's a pretty good review. That's a pretty good rating. And then I would say my review is not funny enough. I've really been spoiled by Ragnarok and I need more humor. Too long, but I did like the gemstones on the glove. And if I had to buy any piece of any sort of toy, I would buy that.
I give this 3.6 stars because as I was watching, I was like, okay, what's going to happen next? okay, so we got all them stones and everybody's dust. What's going to happen? I am curious to see what happens next.
I am
next.
Curious. I'm curious too.
You know, yeah. So I think there's something to that. But yeah, I really thought that glove was glam, you know?
Me too. I thought
this
it was really
gold
cute.
Gold glove with rainbow gemstones? Come through, queen.
Every time a new gemstone went on, I was like, it's a pretty cute glove.
Like, it's almost like the Crocs of gloves, because you
oh
like,
my god,
and your little flat, he's collecting
yes!
those gibbets, and
the
he's gaining
infinity
power
stones
with
are gibbets. I love that.
Okay, wait, we need infinity stone gibbets.
Yes, we do.
I bet
yes,
they have do. That. Oh my god, I want really shiny ones, not like where they're made of the rubber.
Me too. Give me some shiny Crocs, fucking gibbets, infinity stones. Well, anyway. Fucking write a review on Apple Podcasts, because we're going to pick one to read the next episode, and then you can rate it on Spotify. Gabrus, what you got to plug?
Keep an eye out for Corked, a new HeadGum scripted mystery miniseries I'm on coming next month. Friends and newcomers guests like Mary Holland and Betsy Sodaro are in the cast. Stay tuned.
That was so natural.
Yeah,
I loved it.
I've been talking a lot with the HeadGum marketing department about like wordings and stuff like that. So they asked,
yeah,
and I was like, that sounds just like me. Let's rock and roll,
it
baby.
It sure does.
Thanks and for saying stay tuned at the end, because I felt like because
it's coming on right after this. So
yeah, that was great.
I mean, I can't wait to listen. I like that it was like keep your eyes out, but I'm gonna keep my ears out.
Yeah, I think that's probably best. I would say search Corked on your podcast, wherever you listen to podcasts, and download it. It was a lot of fun. It's HeadGum's. It's a scripted podcast by HeadGum. A lot of fun people involved, myself included.
And you're not even on script at this point. You are speaking from the heart.
I'm speaking from the heart, and it's coming in July, which
ooh,
I think
that's great.
Which I
right
think
around
helped.
For the 4th of July.
Perfect time to celebrate America with Corked. A little story about wine country that I recorded so long ago I could not actually get into the details, except it was pretty funny.
That's amazing. Well, I want to say keep an eye out for Threedom. It's an Earwolf unscripted series that I'm on every week. It is my podcast with friends like Paula F. Tompkins and Scott Aukerman are also in the cast. Stay tuned.
Also, stay tuned for Why Won't You Date Me? An exploration as to why I'm still single. It was on HeadGum. It has since moved.
I'm still upset about that.
You know, but I'm here on HeadGum with this, and that's great.
And that is great. And we just got a link sent to us in our chat of some Avengers Endgame Croc Charms on Etsy. And I
ooh.
Do want to have.
I but might see, you, get them.
Here's the thing. You have to get all
well,
of them.
Well, if you only have one, you don't
yeah,
have
you
enough
can't
power
just have
to
two
get rid
stones.
Of half of the, to commit genocide. You need all of them.
Yeah, and I'm trying to commit genocide to my other shoes.
You're going
to
just have only left shoes. You get rid of one of every shoe. Not half your pairs. You're like, fuck.
Well, guess what? We're going to be fucking back next week with Captain Marvel, a movie I have tried to watch at least 8 times on a plane.
I have not been interested.
You have seen it.
I have seen it. I actually went to see it with David Spade in Hawaii when we were shooting our movie, The Wrong Missy. And that couldn't have been a less necessary thing for us to do.
I gotta say, I hate to be the white straight male who doesn't love the female-led superhero movie, but Ms. Marvel, Captain Marvel is like one of the worst ones, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. Also coming in July, July 14th on True TV, a little show called 101 Places to Party Before You Die.
Ooh,
and, a new True TV unscripted travel miniseries that I'm on coming next month. Friends, and I don't think they're newcomer guests, like Adam Pally, are in the cast. So stay tuned.
That
coming
is
in July.
Great. Stay tuned.
Oh, and Adam Pally, who stars in Iron Man 3. I tied it back to Marvel.
Wait, yes. He does? We didn't watch Iron Man 3.
Wait, that's amazing.
Yeah, he's in Iron Man 3. And all of his scenes are with Robert Downey Jr. too. It's
that's
cool.
Cool.
Yeah.
I wish that would happen to me. Okay. Gabrus, thanks for being here. It's always fun to see you. And it
Thank
was great
you for
to talk
me.
About the film. And we'll see you later.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you. That was a HeadGum Original.